Welcome to the CRE Podcast, a podcast committed to highlighting the great work across the nation in transforming communities through the power of economic development and the Community Reinvestment Act. I'm Linda Izuka, your host and founder of CRE Today and the CRE Hub. The CRE Hub is an exclusive membership for bankers to master the Community Reinvestment Act and transform lives through the power of economic development. For those of you who are new to me and joining the podcast for the first time, I am very passionate about this community development work and created this podcast to elevate voices and stories around projects and initiatives that inspire me and that move our nation forward in providing opportunities for lower-income individuals and disadvantaged communities in our local markets and where we choose to call home. Well, welcome, Abby, to the CRE Podcast. Happy to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Great. Well, tell me a little bit more about your background and your journey to class equity. It's so exciting.
Absolutely. So hi, everyone. My name is Abby. I am the co-founder and CEO of Class Equity. We are an edtech platform that aims to increase economic mobility through financial literacy in K-12 classrooms. So I know we'll dive into everything class equity in a minute. So I guess I'll share a little bit more about my background before that and leading up to this venture. So I think my career in education really started with my own personal education. I was fortunate to grow up in a family that really valued education and supported me through that journey. It was never a question if college was on the table, just because that's what everyone did. You know, everyone I knew went to college. It was almost expected. So I went to school in Virginia, and I found myself really drawn to public policy courses, especially in economics and education. And I still vividly remember writing a paper about how, 11% of students from low-income households graduate college within 6 years, in comparison to 58% from the highest income bracket. Wow. And I remember instantly becoming so passionate about economic mobility and educational inequities, and really wanted to be a part of the solution. So that inspired me to apply for Teach for America. So I joined after school, and I was a middle school math teacher for a couple of years. I was actually out in Oahu, Hawaii. I know Linda's calling in from Honolulu. I am so jealous. I wish I was still there.
Come back.
I need to plan a trip to visit for sure.
Yes, for sure.
But it was an incredible experience. I had the best students and a really, really supportive community of teachers and administrators. But it was hard. It was really hard. I think it's probably the hardest job I will ever have, including starting my own business and running my own business.
Oh, I understand.
A lot of respect for teachers. And I think while I was in the classroom, I became really interested in the role that technology can play in supporting student outcomes, and interested in how teachers can reimagine curriculum to really make it relevant to their students' lives. Mm-hmm. So fast forward a bit, pandemic hit. I moved back to Washington, D.C., where I grew up outside in Virginia. And I ended up starting a tutoring business called Advanced Tutors to support low-income students in my community and students in general through distance learning. So over the course of the year, I hired a team of over 20 teachers and tutors.
Wow.
And we generated over $250,000 in revenue in the first year and provided over 200 hours of free tutoring services for low-income students in our area. So it was awesome just to keep working towards, the mission of economic and educational equity. And I think this is where I really caught the entrepreneurship bug, so to speak. I was still kind of thinking through these problems and challenges I had while I was in the classroom. And then in the spring of 2021, a close family friend who also is a middle school math teacher, she had taken a web development course. So I reached out with this idea, this problem that I had and said, how can we turn this into a web app? How do you even start a website? And, how can we make this a solution for teachers?
Right.
And that's kind of how Class Equity was born. And we've been working on it ever since.
Wow. So tell me just a little bit more about that. I think that there's a classroom economy and financial literacy and classroom management.
Yeah.
And
This sounds like a beautiful bundle. So tell me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You hit all of the key points right there. But so yeah, kind of the backstory with class equity, I think is really rooted in my experience in the classroom. But even looking before that, I think the inspiration even came from my own experiences as a child and growing up. So, you know, as a kid, all I wanted was to have my own money and my own responsibilities and, you know, be out on my own. And then when I became an adult, I quickly came to realize that half of my paycheck was going to rent. And when I sat down to do my taxes, I could tell you that A squared plus B squared equals C squared. I had no idea what a W-2 was. But luckily, I had family and friends that I could lean on for support and to help me learn. But teaching in a low-income community, I became painfully aware that so many of my students did not have access to the same resources. And, you know, that's not unique to my own classroom. 3 out of 4 young adults cannot answer basic financial literacy questions. And that translates over to 78% of Americans living paycheck to paycheck. 3 out of 4 adults are living in some form of debt, and many think they always will be. You know, as a teacher that was really passionate about this, I was trying to look for ways that I could bring financial literacy into the classroom. And that's when I came across this classroom economy system from a close teacher friend, actually. So I loved that it was working in real world skills in a classroom management solution, which classroom management is the word educators use for how we engage students.
Yes.
So students could apply for classroom jobs and then become hired for that role. They could earn salaries for their contribution to the class, but they are also responsible for real world spending, such as rent and utilities. Then students could also earn bonuses and fines to kind of reinforce those classroom values, right, and then save up to purchase rewards from the classroom store.
Oh.
So not only was it helping me teach these life skills, but it was also helping me promote that positive social behavior in my classroom. But at the time that I was trying to start this, all of the resources I found online were all paper-based.
Yeah.
So printing out paper money and having 120 middle schoolers carry around a bank ledger, this was not going to happen, but also was unrealistic. I mean, no one even uses cash anymore. So, you know, then the pandemic hit and fast forward, everything else happened. So it wasn't going to happen. And then in the spring of 2021, as I mentioned, I think I was watching the news or something and I saw some commercial for some app. I think it might've been like Greenlight or GoHenry to help parents teach their kids about budgeting. And it was like the light bulb moment, like, oh my goodness, we need to do this with the classroom economy system.
Yeah.
So I reached out to Katie and said, you know, how do we turn this into a web app, make it super easy for teachers to use, streamline the whole system, have students open their own bank account to work in that real financial literacy skills. And yeah, we kind of took it away from there. So we launched in the fall of 2021, hoping to have a couple of teacher friends test it out. And we've just been completely blown away by organic growth. So it's been a really, really fun journey thus far.
Wow. So what happens if a student doesn't have access to a handheld or some device?
Yeah. So I think that's, you know, one of the pros of the pandemic is completely fast forwarded student access to technology in the classroom. So whether it's a tablet or a computer, you know, almost every single classroom has access to technology now, which has been awesome to see. You know, with a paper-based version of the system, it's all, you know, very touch heavy, students touching paper money, teachers passing out paychecks, versus our solution where it's low touch. Students can do it all online, just like a regular bank account, make their deposits and their withdrawals, check their account balance. So not only is it helping kind of bring in those tech skills, those real world skills, but also helping limit, you know, those COVID exposures of making it low touch.
Right, right. Okay, so in classroom management, the students are learning the opportunity costs and needs versus wants. Tell me a little bit more about that financial literacy.
Yeah, exactly. So the classroom economy system is really cool because exactly as you said, it's incorporating both financial literacy with classroom management. So the classroom economy system is a system teachers have used for decades. Other teachers may call it a token economy, or some teachers use maybe a point system. So what class equity does is bring in more financial literacy behind that system.
Okay.
So students,
yeah.
Exactly. So now students can apply for their classroom job. You know, I'm sure everyone listening has had a classroom job at some point in their lives. So now students can practice filling out a resume and applying. We've had some teachers even host interviews for their students, which is really cool to, you know, continue bringing in those real world skills. And then, you know, with that money, more problems. Now students also have to pay rent. I think a really big pro of having that rent piece is students learn about delayed gratification. That's one thing even adults struggle with. You know, once you get your paycheck, you want to go out and go shopping. And just students experience that as well. You know, they want to spend their paycheck in the classroom store, but they have to be mindful that they have rent coming up next week. So maybe they can't buy, you know, 5 minutes of sitting in the teacher's chair today. They have to wait until next week until they pay their rent. And then with those bonuses and fines as well, students are learning, you know, that their actions have consequences. Mm-hmm. So with their money, they can learn how to budget, set goals, save, and learn, you know, really financial responsibility through experience. Mm-hmm. I think the system is really cool because there was a study done in 2016 on a paper version of this to see the effectiveness behind the financial literacy. And the study showed that students learn as much in 8 weeks of this course as they would in a whole entire semester of a personal finance course. Mm-hmm. Sorry, 8 weeks of just using this program.
Yeah, because it's so tactical and so real.
Because they're doing it, yeah, through experience. They're feeling seeing their bank account go down when they have to pay rent, and they're feeling the joy of, you know, cashing their paycheck. So exactly, students are learning that just through personal experience.
And is this elementary, or what's your target market here? Who are you serving?
Yeah, so we kind of started just looking at grades 3 through 8. We saw that was kind of the sweet spot in both classroom management and then also these financial literacy skills. We've seen it used K through 12. You know, as we continue to grow, we'd love to work in additional features to make it more advanced for high school students and then to bring in younger students as well. I think, you know, in education right now, currently 7 states require personal finance courses in high school, but other than that, only 11% of students will graduate high school taking a personal finance course. Mm-hmm. And that drops off even more in low-income communities. I think it's 7 or 8% have access, not even will take, they only have access to a personal finance course.
Right.
So, you know, we definitely want to spread this system so it can be implemented in any classroom K through 12.
Right. Exactly. We all need this. Society needs the financial literacy.
Absolutely.
Just targeted populations for sure. So tell me about the traction you've had to date and kind of the impact that you've forged.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as I mentioned, we kind of started just hoping to share this with a few teacher friends, and posted in a few Facebook groups, and just through word of mouth, it snowballed. Today, we support over 3,000 students across 120 classrooms weekly. We have students in classrooms in Canada and Australia, and then I think over 35 states. So we've seen it really widespread. I had a meeting this morning with the principal looking to, you know, use it with her school next year, and already seeing the traction growing for next year as well. I think one of my favorite experiences this year is when I got to visit one of our middle schools who's using it. It's a middle school wide system. And I got to shadow some of the classrooms and chat with the students. And it was so cool just hearing them say, you know, exactly what our mission was. I could not have scripted better answers for them. They were sharing, you know, this is teaching me real world skills, like how to apply for a job. You know, I'm really bad at keeping track of my money. So this is really helping me learn how to manage my money and experience things that I'm too young to experience. You know, I had my favorite was this one student who said, you know, I want to buy everything from the classroom store. I want it all, but I'm trying to save up for 5 minutes of extra recess for everyone, which I loved. I thought it was so sweet. It's really cool to see, you know, not only students learning these real world skills, but being able to build community around it as well. We've had a few teachers request that we have a giving fund so that their students can, you know, donate to their classroom fund, which is really, really cool to see.
Exactly. Being in philanthropy is brilliant, right? To really look at, you know, a really well-balanced system. Wow.
Exactly.
So fun. So what are the barriers to further expansion for you?
Yeah. So right now we're continuing to build out the tech side of this and just looking to grow and reach more teachers in schools next year. It's just me and Katie right now, but you know, we're hoping to rapidly expand in size going into next school year. This year it has been a completely free program for teachers and students, but you know, looking to charge next school year, our goal is for this to stay free for schools and students so that, you know, we don't limit access to anyone that may need this support. So we're looking to bring on some business sponsors to help cover that cost and just continue to support our schools.
Yeah, well, this is the CRA podcast, so my bankers are listening, so a little bit more about that. So I'm assuming that you know the CRA and that you are starting to interface with bankers. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Katie and my sweet spot is really working in disadvantaged communities and Title I schools. That's really kind of our passion behind this. And a lot of schools, you know, may not have the most funding for a platform such as ours. So we're really looking to partner with local organizations and institutions that can sponsor that school and cover the cost so that, as I mentioned before, it can stay free for students and teachers. As a sponsor, businesses and organizations will also have the opportunity to come and teach lessons to students in that school. Yeah. So, you know, if they have lessons that they already have taught in the past, or, you know, we can provide lesson plans as well to really help support this community motion and this community organization. So if anyone is listening and is interested, please feel free to reach out. I would love to share more.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely put your contact information in the show notes and awesome. We'll distribute this and cross promote for sure. So in terms of the bank sponsorships, then the bankers can not only get CRA investment test credit, they can also get CRA service credit by getting into the classroom and layering more educational opportunities. Yes.
Exactly. And, you know, looking at other financial literacy programs in schools, a lot of them students will see for maybe 3 hours once a year, and that's it. Versus our program, which is something that teachers in schools use every single week throughout the whole entire school year. So, you know, not only are you supporting students in financial literacy, in promoting positive social behaviors, but you're also getting FaceTime. You are, you know, seen by the students and the staff every single week throughout the whole entire school year.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah. So do you, where are you geographically based, or tell me more about your footprint? Well, your current footprint and maybe your future footprint.
Yeah. Absolutely. So we're all over the U.S. right now, as I mentioned, also a few in Canada and Australia. So we're in, I think, 35 states currently and hoping to expand to others. I personally am currently based out in Los Angeles. My co-founder, Katie, she's actually out in Germany right now. So we are really all over.
A global woman-owned business. Good for you guys.
Exactly. But exactly. We have pockets of schools in, you know, every single state.
Right. Oh, wonderful. Well, I'm so happy to hear about this program. And as you know, April is Financial Literacy Month, but every day should be financial literacy, right? That we should all remain committed to that initiative and supporting our local communities. So thank you for all the work that you do. And I just can't wait to hear more and how successful, and when she hit that benchmark of, you know, 50 states, you'll be I just know it's coming soon. So good luck to you, and congratulations on all your success to date. Yes.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for your time today. It's been a pleasure, and you're so inspired. I just love hearing about new financial literacy initiatives and innovative solutions. So thank you for all that you do.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Well, that's a wrap. I hope you found this episode inspiring, and my sincere hope is that you find one simple concept or tip to take back to your work to elevate our collective commitment to our local communities. And if you are a banker responsible for a portion of the CRA program, or you are the CRA officer, you may want to consider joining the CRA Hub. You will join your colleagues in weekly activities to take a deeper dive into community development concepts and best practices. Check out cratoday.com/hub to learn more. Until the next CRA podcast episode, take care of you and yours. Bye for now.